Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is James Comey now, and in this clip, he talks about his very first meeting with then President-elect Donald Trump. He is not president of the United States yet. I don't believe so. This is a January meeting, and this is his first meeting with Donald Trump.
I'm about to meet with a person who doesn't know me. He's just been elected president of the United States, and I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it.
What was your impression?
He had impressively coiffed hair that looks to be all his. I confess I stared at it pretty closely, and my reaction was, must take a heck of a lot of time in the morning. His tie was too long, as it always is. He looked slightly orange up close with small white half moons under his eyes, which I assume are from tanning goggles.
Yeah, he didn't do himself any favor with that kind of stuff in the book or on TV. It does not do him any favors.
I think that's just a fatal flaw. I don't get it at all.
I think you do, and I think you're right.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Oh, come on, Steve. Why is he talking about that?
I think it's a huge... I think he should be smart enough to know... What, you think he just wants to indulge in ripping on him?
Mm-hmm.
And he should be smarter than that.
But those are such cheap shots.
I know.
He seems classier than that.
Incidentally, I think any of us, for the first time in a room with Donald Trump, would remark on his bizarre appearance, right? The hair is famous. The eyes and the skin color is famous. The tie is famous. I mean, there's a lot of things you would note. You would look at his hands, wouldn't you? But if you're the FBI director or former, stop it. Don't talk about that. That doesn't help you. Okay, so this is cut five. Cut four, rather. In that meeting, the president talked about what he was most concerned about.
No one, to my recollection, asked, so what's coming next from the Russians? How might we stop it? What's the future look like? It was none of that. It was all, what can we say about what they did and how it affects the election that we just had?
You said as this was happening, you had a flashback to your early days as a prosecutor.
I had a flashback to my days investigating the mafia, La Cosa Nostra.
I just got the book today. I'm going to read it. It sounds fascinating. The description of Donald Trump's leadership style as that of a mob boss makes sense. I mean, I get the point. I'm still not sure that indulging in that is all that useful, but it's his truth, and this is the way he tells it.
I felt this effort to make us all, maybe this wasn't their intention, but it's the way it felt to me, to make us all amica nostra. We're all part of the messaging. We're all part of the effort. The boss is at the head of the table, and we're going to figure out together how to do this. That leadership culture constantly comes back to me when I think about my experience with the Trump administration.
Yeah, it must have felt bizarre. And that one seems to maybe make a little more sense, be a little more important if you're trying to understand Donald Trump's behavior or that of this administration, the people running your country. It is that. Everybody's sucking up to the boss. You're either with us or against us. It is that sort of Cosa Nostra, the way he described it, culture. Okay, so then, but the problem for James Comey, this guy who he's not really sure about and who he doesn't really know, he has to tell him about the Steele dossier.
Did you believe his denial?
Honestly, never thought these words would come out of my mouth, but I don't know whether the current president of the United States was with prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow in 2013. It's possible.
This is James Comey on the press conference that took place. Now, this is Comey when he holds a press conference about Hillary Clinton and the use of email, official government email on her server.
Believing the credibility of the Justice Department was at stake, he made a dramatic and unprecedented move, calling a press conference without telling his boss what he would say.
I'm here to give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email system.
Your critics say this is where your ego got the best of you. This was your original sin.
I actually thought, as bad as this will be for me personally, this is my obligation to protect the FBI and the Justice Department. Given all that had gone on, the Attorney General of the United States could not credibly announce this result. And if she did, it would do corrosive damage to the institutions of justice.
Comey concluded there was no criminal intent and no reason to prosecute Clinton.
So that's Comey coming out, you know, in favor of Hillary Clinton, if you will. And Clinton is up by double-digit points a few weeks out. I mean, really, some of the things that you learn or remember when you listen back to Stephanopoulos' interview are just kind of boggling. You still shake your head and go, I can't believe this. For instance, that the FBI director hosts that press conference rather than Loretta Lynch, and he said that's because Lynch was maybe a little too close to the Clintons now, and it was better if it came from the director of the FBI.
I decided it was important that I speak separately from the Attorney General.
Why not put out a one-line statement, we decline to prosecute?
If you issue a one-liner from the Obama Justice Department about the Democratic nominee for President of the United States and say we're done here, corrosive doubt creeps in that the system is rigged somehow.
Can you assure people that the Obama Justice Department was not protecting Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
Here's another like detour in the, I mean, like, how did we get here? We probably are not here. You could make the argument that Donald Trump is not president today were it not for, wait for it, Anthony Weiner.
2 weeks and a day before the final votes, our new tracking poll shows a 12-point lead for Hillary Clinton, her biggest yet.
At this point in time, she has almost wrapped this race up.
Until the October surprise she never saw coming. While working a separate case against Anthony Weiner, the husband of one of Clinton's top aides, FBI agents find hundreds of thousands of Hillary Clinton's emails on Weiner's laptop, but kept that information secret for weeks.
And then the question for me now is, so what do we do now?
So in the final days of the election, Comey sends a letter informing Congress he is reopening the Clinton investigation. Congress tells the world.
Secretary Clinton, any reaction to Director Comey reopening his investigation into your emails?
This is the biggest political scandal since Watergate.
Comey says he had no choice.
So think about that. If you believe that Donald Trump is president because the Clinton campaign collapsed, and the Clinton campaign collapsed because of the email scandal and the lingering doubt about it, why did we know or think about that? It was because Anthony Weiner, who is connected to Uma Abedin, who's connected to Hillary Clinton, had crazy stuff on his social media, on his devices. If it's not for Anthony Weiner, then all of those things don't click together. At least that's one way to look at that.
Yeah, but you can still put it on Comey, too, because there was Justice Department protocol that in the, you know, short days before the election, you just didn't make statements that would impact the voting.
Unprecedented.
You just don't do it.
Unprecedented.
And going back to that summer news conference,
yeah,
he at other times argues that he is absolutely apolitical. He doesn't vote, right?
Yeah.
So why is he using a political calculation to decide whether or not or how to clear Hillary Clinton?
He said,
if he doesn't do politics, he should have just issued that statement.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. You know, he's got a lot of decision points along the way here. And he keeps thinking that he's doing what he must do to preserve the integrity of the Justice Department and the FBI.
And all of this, what's to me the most remarkable thing is all of this stuff, still the President Donald Trump is able to convince people that Comey was working against him.
Yeah, no kidding. When, in fact, he's getting him elected. Now, remember, at the very end, he tries to clear Hillary, and Donald Trump will smear him for that. He figures, I'm screwed either way. In fact, that's a line that I'll get to in just a second. But there's another point about that, Steve, and that is there a double standard here? We have something that we're not sure about with Hillary Clinton and turns out to be a dead end, but we'll go ahead and announce that we're looking into it. At the same time, they're looking into PP tapes and crazy stuff,
right,
about interference with Trump's campaign and the Russians, but they don't tell us that.
Right. I mean, it's just...
So, is it a double standard?
Your critics say this is a clear, clear, clear double standard. You revealed information about Hillary Clinton. You concealed information about Donald Trump. That elected Donald Trump.
Take a step back and stare at the two cases and the posture they were in. The Hillary Clinton email case was public, and the counterintelligence investigations trying to figure out whether a small group of people, not Donald Trump, we were not investigating Donald Trump, whether this small group of Americans was coordinating anything with the Russians. We had just started the investigation, didn't know whether we had anything.
So he's got an answer for them all. You know, it's his apples and oranges, he said. But I don't know that everybody's going to buy that. I just got the book today, and I'm anxious to read it. A couple more sound bites from that in just a second.
If you knew that letter would elect Donald Trump, you'd still send it?
I would. Down that path lies the death of the FBI as an independent force in American life. If I ever start considering whose political fortunes will be affected by a decision, we're done.
Okay, see, here's the point, Steve. He's not saying I made those decisions because I was betting on one of the horses. I was betting on the integrity or trying to preserve the integrity of the FBI. So he was making...
So you're saying that then explains away the news conference in July.
That's why he made all of those quote-unquote political statements, all of those judgments, telling us about, well, we don't know about Hillary stuff, but right before the election, we believe they handled email recklessly, and we need... and I guess we need to know that. No crime, but we just thought you should know. Lordy, that's a political statement just before the election. Why did he do it? Not because he wanted Hillary to win. Although they all voted for Hillary, those of them in his family who voted, but because he thought he had to preserve the integrity of the FBI. And then there's this meeting where Trump asks for loyalty. Oh, Lordy, this is juicy.
He said, I expect loyalty. I need loyalty. And I just stared at him and had this little narrative with myself inside saying, don't you move. Don't you dare move. Don't even blink.
Why not say no?
I think because I was caught totally by surprise. I couldn't think of a clever response. By the second time he came back to it, I had my wits about me and had a better answer.
What was the second time?
He said again, I need loyalty. And I said, you will always get honesty from me. And then he said, honest loyalty, as if he was proposing some compromise or a deal. And I paused and said, you'll get that from me.
Did you cross a line when you promised him honest loyalty? Would it be fair for him to think, wait, I have a deal here?
I don't think so.
I do. It's amazing to me, if you're 6'8" tall, you've enjoyed nothing but success in your life. You're the director of the FB flippin' I. You don't have much respect for this putz who's sitting there next to you. Why are you so intimidated? You could have looked him right square in the puss and you could have said, no. You don't have my loyalty. You do not have my loyalty. What's he going to do? Throw a salad fork at him? Come on. Pick up a shrimp scampi? He can do that. I do not know why Mueller, Comey twice in that meeting failed to just do the obvious and simple thing. I know a lot of us look back where a lot of us are driving home from meetings with the boss or dates or days at work or conversations with our kids, and we are so much better on the ride home. But he had a couple of shots there. To me, I would have relished the opportunity to tell Donald Trump, no, that's not how it works, sir. All right. That was the Stephanopoulos interview with James Comey last night. Maybe we'll get to a couple more cuts. Also, Patty Vasquez visits with us now and again. And she's going to pop by a little after 2 o'clock. We'll talk about the Starbucks controversy today. And do you think, speaking of President Trump, that he is going to pardon Rod Blagojevich? Let's go around the horn. Bertrand, will Trump pardon Blago? Go.
No.
Violetta, go.
Maybe.
Kevin Powell, will the president pardon the former governor?
Yes.
I think there's a 58% chance he will not, but a 42% chance he will. I think he's this close. Elif, will he do it?
No.